morning, Pet Appreciators. Good morning, Twin Cities, and welcome to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And a great big good morning to you, Dr. Nicole. Thank you so much for calling in. Pet Appreciators, Dr. Nicole will be joining us today. And again, my name is Kathy Menard, and I'm one of your hosts here, as well as Dr. Nicole Perrault. Another beautiful day in the Twin Cities. I hope you can enjoy this. Beautiful day with your family, your friends, just yourself, and most importantly, with your pets as well. I know what I'm going to be doing after the show and with the pups and enjoying the great outdoors. But anyways, good morning, Pet Appreciators. I have a few topics that I'd like to dive into this morning, and I would welcome, and I'm sure Dr. Nicole would welcome too, any sort of comments or questions or thoughts that you have about these topics. But you know, we're here for you as well, and we always want to make sure that you feel comfortable calling in. You know, maybe there's something just little subtle and iffy with your pet that you're just not quite sure if you should run him into the vet this week or not, and Dr. Nicole would be a great person to sort of give you some guidance on helping you make that decision. You know, when do you really need to go in? When can you wait a little bit? What sort of signs you need to watch for? And yeah, so I just want to encourage you always, always, always to call in 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And, you know, I forget to mention this, Pet Appreciators, but if you, you know, are involved in a rescue group or some other nonprofit organization or a business that's involved with pets and you have, you know, an event or something coming up, always feel free to contact me and we can put it on air or have you call in and you share with everybody because we're here for each other. You know, we've got a great network here in the Twin Cities among pet owners. So I just want to make sure that you always feel a part of it and always feel like you can call in and share. So that's for sure. And speaking of events, which I'm going to be, of course, promoting every single Saturday or every single Sunday now, is Petapalooza. I can't believe it's this, the time of the year again, you know, but Petapalooza, and we're going to be holding it on, well, it's with CBS Radio, obviously, but we are the title sponsors of it, the Urban Dog, My Business, and we'll be doing it again this year. So it's Saturday, June 16th. Saturday, June 16th, and it's going to be at the State Fairgrounds again. However, if you've been there before, Pet Appreciators, you'll know that Petapalooza is on like the Machinery Hill area of the State Fairgrounds. However, during the month of June, the State Fair is actually going to be doing some renovation work over there. So we're moved to a different site. And I know that that will be all on the Petapalooza website. And I can, you know, sort of announce that more as I know more about that space as well. But same place. Saturday, June 16th. So if you are a 501c3 rescue group or other 503c status pet organization, there's no charge. And so, you know, we want you to be able to come and share your organization and get the word out on what you do and, you know, that kind of thing. So we want you to be able to participate. There's usually 30 to 40 nonprofits there. And we want to encourage you to do that if you haven't already signed up. And then also lots of businesses, pet-related, and not just pet-related, but, you know, there's always other businesses that either directly or indirectly serve pet owners or pets themselves. And so we want to encourage them to get out there, too, and sign up for a booth and that kind of thing. So, but anyways, enough of that. There's a couple things on my mind, Dr. Nicole, that I wanted to talk with you and the Pet Appreciators and just kind of, you know, have a discussion about. And one of them is something that I've been thinking about lately. Now, Pet Appreciators, if you've been listening a lot, you know that Dr. Nicole and I go way back. She was the very first person I ever hired way back before her medical school, years of medical school, veterinary school. And so we go way back. And so we're pretty close. And I feel really comfortable with Dr. Nicole. And she's also the veterinarian for all my pets. And I feel lucky because not that this happens every time, and I certainly don't expect it every time, but I do have that option, and it's up to Nicole whether she chooses to respond or not, but I do have that option of sending a text at 11 o'clock or midnight just saying, hey, when you get a chance, can you give me a call because I'm a little bit worried about Skippy? Or, you know, suddenly I feel this lump on Ferrari. or, you know, something about Cammy or Cosmo or Roxy or little Poochie or Willie. You know what I mean? All the dogs and cats that are part of. And so I feel really lucky that way, even though I don't expect a response every time because it's just not appropriate, you know? So we're friends, and we go back a long time, and we're immersed in the businesses and the rescue and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there is that healthy boundary, too, of, you know, you have your own life. I don't expect you to be my own personal veterinarian 24/7. But I do feel lucky that I can do that. You know what I mean? And I don't know about you, pet appreciators, but sometimes when you have a question or you notice something in a subtle way or you're a little bit confused, maybe you understood or you thought you understood the directions when you left the office or the vet clinic, but you certainly don't remember everything by the time you got home. Or maybe it's worded a little bit different on the form from the clinic than it is on the bottle of the pills or medication, whatever medication. And I'm wondering, Dr. Nicole, and I'm wondering with you pet appreciators too, is there ever like a hotline, kind of like a veterinarian hotline or website that you can interact with when you have these questions? You know, because sometimes when you call a clinic or an emergency place, I feel like they might be a little bit too busy to really understand what, you know, and really give you the time. And maybe it's just not flat out legal or responsible to give information and what you think is happening with your pet because they don't really know your pet. Or whoever answers the phone is not a veterinarian, obviously. There could be a vet tech or a receptionist. And so, you know, I was thinking last night, you know, that I had that opportunity. I didn't do it, but I had that choice to just call Dr. Nicole or send her a quick text and say, hey, yeah, this is what happened after the test. And the reason why I was thinking is that, and I won't get too much into it, but my Skippy, who's older, 12 and a half, has, you know, he's deteriorating with kidney failure, but we're able to, like, and I don't know how this will go this time, but, you know, through the last couple of years, kind of get him to a new normal, which is always a little bit less than the other previous normal. But, you know, he had a blood transfusion yesterday and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, so now I'm hoping that this will be another new normal, even though it won't be the same quality. And so I know we're kind of moving along that path, the journey towards, you know, the end of his life. And I don't know how long that will be or how short. But I was thinking, gosh, I'm really lucky. I can pick up my cell phone. I could be, you know what I mean? Eating popcorn in my pajamas and just pick it up and say, hey, Nicole, you awake? I got a question. And she can reply or not reply. And I think that most people don't have that option. And so I was wondering, you know, is there an option like that out there for pet owners? And it's kind of like a nurse line. I mean, you probably figured out what I'm trying to say. It took a long time. But, you know, is there something out there for pet owners, you know, that you don't always have to get in the car at 1 a.m. and drive down to the emergency vet or sweat out the night worried half sick because, you know, you can't maybe afford the emergency vet, but you're going to try really hard to get him in, you know, right away tomorrow morning, even though you know that you have like a really important meeting that you have to get to and that your boss isn't going to be happy with you. So, you know, I was just kind of wondering, is there some sort of gap, you know what I mean, for pet owners to kind of work through this? It wouldn't be appropriate for every question or every scenario, but is there some sort of a gap that is either online or on the phone, just like a nurse line? I've called a nurse line a couple times, pet appreciators, over the years. Love it. They're so calm when I'm not. And especially when I fell and hit my head, I was just, whatever, a little confused too. But that was so helpful. And it gave me really concrete information on if this happens, then you do need to go in. If this happens, you know, to the ER. If this happens, then probably in urgent care. If this happens, you know, get an appointment with your doctor. You know, so I had all these choices and guidelines and everything sort of made sense. And then I felt like I was in control of the situation again and I could help myself. And so I was wondering, you know, is there something like that for pet owners? And we know how many pets there are in the United States, right? I can't quote that to you because I really don't remember, even though I've stated that fact on the show many, many times, but millions and millions and millions. So how come there isn't something, you know what I mean, that we can all gravitate, you know what I mean? Like I said, a gap filler, you know? Dr. Nicole, I can't believe this. 1 minute, 47 seconds. And then it's a commercial break. Can you begin a little conversation with that? And then we'll continue on the other side.
Yes. So, well, first off, I think you're always very respectful of my time. So thank you. A lot of people are not like that. So you do a very good job. But I think the biggest thing, I used to work at the University of Minnesota after hours from like 4 to midnight. And that was kind of what we did on the emergency line. We would have a ton of people call and say, you know, I'm really worried. You know, my vet is closed. What should I do? We would always take the notes down and we would go ask one of the staff vets that was on that night, the emergency vet, and then we would kind of instruct the client. So that's kind of, I think, what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Any of the emergency clinics, I think, should be able to do that, as, you know, as long as people know that they're likely going to be dealing with something far more urgent and they'll have to call you back if needed. But I feel like that's a really good resource to have, is the emergency clinics, and they're all over the metro.
Yeah, and I was thinking too, there's always a pet poison hotline, although they of course deal specifically with toxic issues. But
but
I was thinking, you know, and I think that's great, but you're right. There's a lot of juggling back and forth, people coming up to the desk sometimes, you know, and so sometimes there's a little bit of like interruption, you know what I mean? Or having to, like, to wait or whatever. And so I was just thinking, and I'll continue to think because now, you know, it's the commercial break. So what can I do but think? So please stay with us, Pet Appreciators, and always feel free to call in too if you have some thoughts about this.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having their annual service special. Every stove, insert, and fireplace needs maintenance. Get it done now and save $40. You'll be ready to fire up before the cold weather hits again. From 94, take the Riverside Avenue exit and go east to 2901 Franklin Avenue. See the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of clean-burning, reliable, and environmentally smart stoves and fireplaces.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, owner of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Have you ever watched your dog or cat curl up in front of a fire, like a Norman Rockwell painting brought to life? It's primordial the way fire touches both the animal and the human. We have the equipment and the know-how to supply, install, and maintain stoves and fireplaces. Call us at 612-338-6606 and take advantage of our spring cleaning and maintenance special. We are online at woodlandstoves.com. The mission and the passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Supporting the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities has never been easier. You'll find an expansive list of local dining options at eatlocalminnesota.com, from classic American comfort food to authentic flavors from around the world. Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts. Stop in the wine bar and enjoy a unique pizza loaded with fresh vegetables and perfectly roasted meats. Over 30 wines by the glass, Cafe Latte highlights Washington State wines and is the perfect destination for date night or an evening with friends. 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul. Victor's 1959 Cafe has been serving South Minneapolis traditional Cuban food for over 15 years. Victor's is open for breakfast and lunch daily and now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try the Pollo Tropicale or the Sandwich Cubano, which was featured on Food Network. More at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, president of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. Our team from Minnesota Hospice will be continuing our series titled Lifting the Veil, Revealing the Spiritual Truths About Dying and Death, where we share insights on the spiritual aspects of this profound experience. Please join us Saturday from noon to 1 for the new Minnesota Hospice show and learn more about us online at minnesotahospice.com.
Welcome back, Pet Appreciators. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And it's myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Perrault, who are your hosts today. We were just talking about, you know, is there some sort of a program, service, networking system where we can fill in the gap for pet owners that would be, you know, that are having some issues, but maybe not an emergency, you know, with their pets. And also I think I would like to call it like a support system. You know, there's something that's so wonderful when you know you have somebody to call. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need an answer right away. But doesn't it feel good, Pet Appreciators, knowing that you have somebody to turn to or to call? You know what I mean? About your pets? And so we were just talking about that. What are our options out there right now? And how can we improve them? What we can do? And if there's any entrepreneurs out there, budding entrepreneurs, people are thinking, well, I love pets. What do I want to do? Well, maybe you can, you know, maybe you can think about this, you know, starting some sort of a network, you know, or gap-filling kind of thing, support service kind of thing. After all, and this is from my engineer specifically, he heard obviously heard us talking about it. And so what does he do? Go online. Thank you so much. You're terrific. You're excellent. Really appreciate that. Okay. Suddenly, you know, up on the computer screen, it says as of March 2017, 89.7 million dogs. Is that the U.S. only? Yep, okay. And 94.2 million cats. Now, these are pets. 139.3 million fish. You know what? That sounds like my son's household. Not that he has that many, but, you know, whenever I call my son and my daughter-in-law, it's like, how's the dog? How are the cats? And how's the fish? So, but anyways, you know, when you combine all of that together, it's over 300 million, you know, pets. Well, just fish. We're not even talking about hobby farm animals. You know, just dogs, cats, fish. You know, it doesn't even include like chinchillas or guinea pigs or mice or rats or snakes or any of those other things. Newts and chameleons, etc. But yeah, I mean, that's an awful lot. And when you think about it, Americans really share their lives with animals. I mean, it's very, very integrated and intertwined. And so I don't know how many veterinarians, practicing veterinarians there are. Obviously, you probably don't see a lot of fish. But you know what I mean? Just between the dogs and the cats, it's a little over 180 million. And how does that stack up with how many veterinarians there are out there? Boy, am I throwing out a lot of stuff, Dr. Nicole. How about if you talk and maybe pull it together a little bit better since I'm just...
I don't know if I'll be able to do that, but... Yeah, I do know that there are veterinarians that, you know, do see fish.
Really?
I know there's probably not a ton of them, but yeah, I don't know the stats on how many are practicing small animal or mixed animal or large. But I do know, yes, that is a huge, huge number of animals. And, you know, they are going to have problems when regular veterinary offices are closed. And so that's why I give a lot of props to emergency clinics, because I do know that, like I mentioned when I worked there, we just had a lot of people call with those same things that you mentioned, like, for instance, you know, reading a label, and they might just be confused on exactly what the label is. Just like for you, like I didn't even get to show you when you left, like the sucralfate with the syringe and stuff, because it was just so, we were so busy and whatnot. And normally we show people that, but it's like sometimes things like that happen. And so if they have a number that they can call, I think that's just wonderful. And so I think that's still the same way. I mean, it still should be in place that way, that if you call and say, hey, I don't have an emergency, so you can call me back if you need to. I think that's the way to approach it, and just say, I don't even know if you can help me, but you know, I have some questions about this label. And most often the tech would have you just read the label, and they're going to know usually what the medicine is. It's pretty rare, I think, that, you know, someone in the veterinary profession, especially at the emergency facilities, wouldn't know all the different varieties of medications and formulations and how we give them. So I do feel like it's a really good service, as long as people know that when they call, they might have to just wait a little while. But usually most people are fine with that if they know it's not an emergency, because they would certainly want their pet dealt with, you know, urgently if that were the case too. So right. I think it's a great service.
Yeah, yeah. So do you happen to have a number for that at all? That's probably just online, right? Just the emergency or any sort of clinic.
Yeah, I do know that the emergency number at the University of Minnesota is 612-625-9711. So 612-625-9711. I believe that's still the same line. That's what it was years and years ago when I worked there. And I called that not too long ago to talk to somebody, and I got through. So if it's not still the number that they have listed, it does reroute to there. So that should be fine. The other number too, I think, is 612-626-VETS. It's just VETS. 612-626-VETS. And I think there might be an option there where you can, you know, hit a button to be transferred to the emergency line too. But I feel like that's a really good number to always have in your phone, saved, the same as you mentioned, Kathy, with the pet poison hotline or helpline. I think that's a really good thing to have as well.
Yeah, just options. And my mind is just blown away, you know, with what the engineer had put up, 89.7 million dogs. I can't even wrap my mind around that. I mean,
yeah,
yeah, I can't. So, and then obviously even more for cats. And so, you know, is there some sort of, you know, with all the rescue groups that have sprouted up in the last like 15 years, and even more, I think, in like the last 10 years, is there like some sort of nationwide database to help keep track of all these animals? I know that there's the mm-hmm. microchip system, and people, I think, get that more just for, you know, in case your pet is lost, which is a great idea. But even there, the microchip, there's different microchip companies, and they don't mesh together. So even if your pet is chipped, if your vet has a certain reader, it's not going to, even if it doesn't recognize it, if it's not from the same company or whatever, it's all for naught. You know what I mean? So is there some sort of a database, do you know, that people, you know, especially probably within the rescue group, can kind of, is there a certain way to kind of keep track of all these animals and in a general way track them, or no?
I don't know of a certain database that, you know, keeps track of like numbers, like almost like a census type thing. But I do know that most veterinary clinics, humane societies, animal control offices, all of those people, they should now have universal scanners for microchips.
Okay.
They should pick up all chips. And so I know for a while there was, you know, some issues with that, but that should be, I think, for the most part resolved. I'm hoping, because I know that that's why we initially had ordered, this was years ago, and we made sure we got a universal scanner. And so there is, if you go to mypetmicrochip.org or something like that, or microchipmypet.org, you'd have to Google it. I might be wrong. I don't have a computer right in front of me, but you can plug in your pet's microchip or a found pet's microchip number and hit enter, and it's going to say, okay, this chip was last updated 2012. You know, at Avid, here's the number to call. So that's kind of nice.
Oh, it's very nice. Although, Dr. Nicole, we are going into a commercial break. Can you hold your thought, and I'll let you finish that on the other side. And that's great news, because the last time we talked, there was still some discrepancy, and it sounds like the industry has now sort of tackled that problem, and I feel really good about that. Stay with us, Pet Appreciators.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own four or six packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Burger Mo's is the perfect neighborhood gathering spot before and after Excel Center events or anytime. Mo is serious about burgers, offering 20 fresh, never frozen varieties. Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Not to mention more than 60 beers on tap and happy hours twice daily. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, are we alone?
Who cares if we're alone in the universe?
Well, if there are other intelligent life forms out there, then we're not so special anymore, Josh.
Maybe we wouldn't be special, but at least we'd have company.
Yeah, but would it be good company or bad company?
Are we alone? Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
It's home improvement season, and you know there's lots of projects to tackle. Here's one that won't break the budget. Get your carpet cleaned by Zero Res. If you have pets and kids banging around, you know your carpet needs some love. This month, get three rooms Zero Resified, starting at $139. Plus, this month, save $50 when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll talk about Harry and Bertha Holt, who founded Holt International, an adoption agency that's facilitated more than 3,000 international adoptions. In fact, it was the Holts who convinced Congress to pass a law to allow for international adoptions. I've got a better vision of a better world for everyone who has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today will be sunny with a high near 75, and tonight we'll see a low around 50. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high near 80, and Tuesday there's a 20% chance of showers with a high near 74. Now that it's officially grilling season, don't just settle on what's in the cupboard. Add the flavor of vinaigrette's premium oils and vinegars to create unforgettable meals. You can find vinaigrette in Minneapolis at 50th and Xerxes, and at 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. More online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Welcome back, Pet Appreciators. Welcome back to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us. And with us, I mean myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Perrault. And we're just very happy that you're spending Sunday morning with us. So anyways, I interrupted Dr. Nicole right before the commercial break. So I wanted you to finish your thoughts, Dr. Nicole.
Okay. I think I should have looked up. I can look up the actual website on the next break, but I think it's petmicrochiplookup.org or something, but I will get the exact one for everybody.
You know what that is? That is because our engineer who's on the ball just did it, and he just typed it in and said, hey,
you.
Is this it? So petmicrochiplookup.org.
It's like if I typed it, I wouldn't even have to think. My fingers would just type it, but when you're sitting here thinking without a computer, I was like, what is that? What is the site? But yes, maybe you can say it again, Kathy, clearly, so I didn't, did he have it posted up there?
Yeah, he's did excellent. So petmicrochiplookup.org.
Perfect. Okay, that sounds much better. Okay, so if you find an animal, and this is widely used, you know, at our vet clinic, because a lot of people will come in and say, I don't know if my pet is microchipped. You know, I adopted her 5 years ago, and so we'll just go to the computer, plug the chip in to that website, and it'll say, yes, last updated, you know, so-and-so date, and what type of chip it is and the number to call. And so that's really helpful because then we can print that off for the client. They can take that information and call the company and ask them, you know, how do I make sure this is updated info and all of that? So that's one nice thing. But I guess when a pet is found, that's also super helpful because it gives you the same information. You can kind of get an idea of how old is this animal. If an animal comes in and we think maybe the dog is 3, and we plug that in and it says, oh, this pet is microchipped and it was last updated 5 years ago. Well, then obviously, we at least have some idea of the pet's age. So that's nice too. And the reason it's so frustrating why we have to play these little games of wondering is because a lot of people don't update or register their microchips, which is so frustrating because it's like, why put it in if you're not going to register it? So what we've done now at our clinic is we don't even make the registration. We don't have the clients do that. When the animals come in for surgery, if the client elects to do a microchip, we put the microchip in while they're sleeping. And then before they pick up their pet, they fill out the microchip info and we send it in so that it's automatically registered for life. That we know that that pet, for some reason, if he or she gets lost, they're going to at least find their way back to their parents. So I just definitely feel like it's a huge, huge important thing. I should also, since it's the same topic, just mention that today in Elk River, my rescue, Tough Start Rescue, we are doing a microchip clinic from 2 to 4 at the Chuck and Don's in Elk River. And so it's $35 to get your pet microchipped, and that includes the registration. So really good way to do that since we're talking about it.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea. That is a great thing. And again, it's Elk River, time. Chuck and Don's.
Yeah, Chuck and Don's in Elk River. It's the first time we're doing it, so we're kind of excited.
Oh, I bet. Dr. Nicole, along those lines, so owners do that themselves? They can do it on their home computer themselves? I'll ask my second question. But that's what they can do as long as I have the tag number is to update.
You mean update the online?
Yeah, yeah. So pet owners can do that if they move or if they, yeah. Is that something they can do online themselves at petmicrochiplookup.org? Update information?
Nope. The only thing they can do there is they'll be able to plug their chip number in and it will tell them which number to call. So if it'll say like, okay, this is a home again microchip or this is an Avid chip. Here's the number to Avid. And then they would call there and just ask them, how do I get this information updated or changed? A lot of times to change microchip information, you have to submit something in writing, which makes sense because a microchip is, it's supposed to be for life, but obviously life gets messy and that all of that stuff doesn't always stay perfect. But yeah, if you're going to be changing information, they need something in writing. But if you're just updating your own info to a chip that is not registered, I don't know if there's an online option for that or if they say, sure, go here, click here, you can do it that way. But I know it definitely can be a little time consuming because you do have to submit something in writing if you're ever changing ownership of a microchip.
Okay, or just simply moving or have a new number, all that is important to make sure it gets updated. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Besides a microchip, this is a silly question, but I'm going to say it on air and just risk, people rolling their eyes. But, humans have fingerprints, DNA, whatever. Anything like that with dogs?
I mean, I don't know where that stuff is done, but I would, it's the same. I would assume that it's similar. That would be so cool though, because I like a lot of those like CSI and SVU and that kind of stuff, all the drama kind of police shows. And so I definitely think that would be really cool. We should there's got to be somebody that's involved in that could talk someday on the show. I have no idea what's involved in all of that, but absolutely I would think that there would be a service for that.
I
don't know
no
if
idea.
It would be individualized. I don't know how that would, I don't know. That'd be very cool, Kathy. I don't know. That's something I've never thought of, but it sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I just don't know myself. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just ask, because we have fingerprints. Is there a way and this wouldn't be like because there was, one dog committed a crime against another dog. Fido went after Max or whatever, I had a grudge and whatever. But like I was just thinking with lost dogs, and sometimes, you know, dogs get, I think most of it is very legitimate, but I do sometimes have a funny feeling when dogs are getting transferred, large numbers of dogs are getting transferred across state lines, or if there's, you know, some sort of a disaster and there isn't always time, you know, you think you're doing the very best, and I'm sure these people are, you know, and suddenly there's just this huge influx of all these homeless animals due to a disaster. And I just, yeah, so I was just wondering if there's another way to help identify animals that are just simply lost in the system, and can they go back to their owner? You know what I mean?
Right. Yep. And so I feel like the people who are investigating, whoever finds the animal and brings the animal to either a humane society, a veterinary clinic, to me, that is my biggest, I feel like a detective trying to find the owners to microchips. You know what I mean? Even if they're not updated, I mean, we will search because they'll usually give you their name. And so we can do a lot of information. We can try to find them on Facebook. We can, you know, do a reverse address lookup. We can do a reverse phone number. There's so many different ways that I just feel like I hope people are trying hard enough, because I know we sure try so hard, so hard when we find an animal that has a microchip, because you get excited. You know, you get a stray animal in and you scan them and beep. It's just like you can't even believe it. You're so excited that, yes, you know, here is an animal that gets to go home. You know, it's not another animal that we put into the rescue system. So I think as long as people are trying all avenues to find the owners of the microchipped animal, I feel like that's what we should be doing.
Right, right. And we do have a caller, Reverend Jack, actually from Minneapolis, who has some thoughts about pet DNA and related things. So Jack, thank you so much for calling in, and we're excited to hear what you have to add to our conversation.
Thank you for having me. You guys are awesome. I love your show. It's a beautiful day. I'll get right to my point. So I don't know anything about, obviously, like fingerprints or whatever, and I don't know if there's any way to identify an individual dog through DNA, as far as they'd have to have a bank with its information. But I do know, and I'm sure a lot of people know, is we have a dog that we got from the pound, and when we got him, it just said lab mix, and he was a puppy, and he looked like a lab. But as he grew, people started to say, no, he's pit bull, and he's this, and he's that, and he wasn't really acting like a lab. He had a lot of different, so. Anyways, we had a DNA test done. You know, you can swab the thing and send it in. And it was fascinating. They send us back this deal, and it's like, it cost us like $60, I think. And it was really probably the best thing we ever did for him, because get it back, we find out he is not Labrador at all. He is Rottweiler, Bulldog, and Chow. And so it helped me to realize that there were certain traits that he had that are, you know, kind of common with some of those breeds. So I thought, well, that's why he's doing this instead of that. And you know what I mean? But I don't know how. But they go back like three generations. I don't know how they do it, or you know what. But they talk. You know, they do like the three main, and then they have a bunch of other. You know, like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And it goes back like through his parents and their parents, and you know. So it was really cool, actually. I mean, so I don't know. That's what I was thinking of when you were talking about that. I thought it was really interesting.
Major interesting, because you're absolutely right. It's like a lab is not going to act like a Rottweiler, Chow, Bulldog mix. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
Just the health things.
Yeah, he has
the
no
health
desire
things.
To please us. He has no, he's stubborn and he's, you know, all these things. But he's got a lot of bulldog in him for sure, you know, and he's really aggressive with other dogs, which is not, you know, but anyways, that's not, but he's my buddy. He's my favorite of the crew, so, you know.
Yeah, he's part of your family.
Yeah, but it was great to, like I said, I don't think that makes sense, but it was really good to get to know that, because all of a sudden I started to, like, cut him a little slack on certain things, and it just all started to make sense to me, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, so.
How long did that take? But, did you have to wait a long time?
No, it was only, I think it was a couple weeks, I think, you know, they sent me an email back, but and of course everybody says, how do you know if it's for real? But I don't know. I suppose you could, it seemed like pretty legit. I mean, you know, I don't think they're making it up. They gave a whole bio, a whole back, you know, about this dog, and then about the different, you know, traits of the breeds that they, you know, that the dog is, and just, it was really cool, actually.
Neat. No, I'm glad that you brought that up. That was totally not on my radar. So thank you so much, Jack, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Take care, and I love your show. Keep doing what you do.
Oh, thank you. Have a happy day.
You as well. All right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. You know, that's so important, Dr. Nicole.
Yeah, and that is amazing because my brain didn't even go there when you said that about the DNA, but absolutely. Like, I didn't even think of, I mean, I'm wondering if what he's referring to is the wisdom panel. That's the one that, there are a lot of DNA tests out there for dog breeds and things like that, but I feel like, it could be wrong, but I believe the wisdom panel is the one that we've often recommended and most people feel is the most accurate. And I think it is around $60 and they give you this full bio like he's mentioning. So I definitely think that's probably the panel that he did. And a lot of people have really loved that. So I think it's a cool thing to do. I mean, absolutely. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and if you just look up online, or would a veterinarian clinic have options, you know, on where to look?
I know that you...
We got about 30 seconds.
You can look online. Okay, and then I know at certain clinics, too, you can go in and have a blood test drawn, and they send it out, and I wonder if they're sending it out for the same type of panel, the wisdom panel. I've never had anybody do it at our clinic yet, but...
Yeah, interesting. Very, very interesting. Because, you know, there's how many people do we know that says, oh, you know, the rescue said it was this. And so you just believe them. You know what I mean? And the rescues are just doing the best that they can. Stay with us, Pet Appreciators. Another commercial break.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on the Zero Hour Union Power, we talked to a striking Arizona teacher and the president of a government workers union. Also, Norman Solomon on democratic reform, Medea Benjamin on Iran, and a new way to fight Big Pharma. All this and more on the Zero Hour every Sunday night from 9 until midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Stand up, stand up. You've been sitting way too long.
Hello, this is Ralph Nader, host of the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. Join me and my guests every week when we dive deeply into the subjects that matter to you the most, but are rarely on the mass media. Every Sunday for early birds at 7 a.m. and Monday at 6 a.m. And if you're not an early bird, 9 p.m. on Monday, right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Welcome back, Pet Appreciators. And again, again, thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us, or at least part of it. And of course, we always appreciate the callers. So thank you for Jack. Thank you to Jack for calling in and sharing a wise bit of information for sure. Very, very helpful. You know, another topic that I want to get into, and pet appreciators, I don't know how, you know, how long. I mean, I might not be able to share everything, but are you ever in a situation where somebody says or introduces you to their dog and they say that they're a service dog, you know, something like that, and you kind of have a feeling like, wait a minute, for real? Your dog? I know service dogs, and that doesn't quite seem like right. You know what I mean? And but I usually let that go. I usually just think, you know what, that's not a problem I'm going to take on. I'm not going to overanalyze it. I'm just going to like let it go and be on my way. Well, you know, last night on the news, and many of you who listen to the show know that I don't have a TV. I haven't had a TV forever. So I just get my news from the internet. And, you know, I just click on whatever, you know, news site I feel like reading for that night, or my some of my favorites or whatever. So one that I check, you know, a few times a week would be NBCNews.com. And, of course, one of their stories was sort of how states across America are cracking down on this whole notion of real service dogs versus people who really want service dogs for certain situations, but they're not really service dogs. And I didn't really know. I mean, I know I've run into that where I've rolled my eyes, you know, kind of quietly and thought, oh, brother, you know. But I don't really think this is true, what this person is telling me. But I guess it's a bigger problem. Because, you know, if it just, according to this web, or not website, according to this article that I read on NBCNews.com, that there's, in recent months, there's been 21 states, 21, have cracked down on people who say their pets are service dogs, but are really not service dogs. And one of the states here is right here in Minnesota. So maybe this is old news to you, pet appreciators, and just because I'm usually behind the eight ball, you know, maybe this is boring and repetitive to you or whatever. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that Governor Dayton just signed into law, you know, a new law that, you know, if you are sort of caught or whatever, it's a new law making it illegal for people to misrepresent their pets as service animals, under which pet-loving... I won't read the whole thing. But anyways, it's $100 fine and a misdemeanor charge. The governor in Arizona, Doug Ducey, clearly our governor is a Democrat. This Arizona governor is a Republican. Not that that makes any difference, but just it seems like it's a problem regardless of what political affiliation you identify with. But he signed a nearly identical bill where fraudulent misrepresentation of service animals, you can be fined up to $250. And, you know, pet appreciators, I agree with that, even though I kind of understand where people are coming from who need, quote unquote, service not service dogs, but like more of a support dog. You know, because like I remember at this really plushy apartment complex many years ago, a very, very wealthy woman just moved in, got a new job and blah, 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 blah. And she's drove the fancy car and had the fancy clothes. And she had one of those fancy lap dogs. And after about 2 or 3 days, she said to me, you know, sort of under the cover there, well, you know, I was able to get out of my pet. You know how you have to pay a fee when you move into an apartment for the damage deposit. You know, there's your regular damage deposit and then there's a pet damage deposit. Well, she was able to get out of that pet damage deposit of $500 because she had her friend who was a psychiatrist or psychologist, one of the two, write a letter stating she needed this dog, and, you know, for support or whatever. And so she got out of that. And that was one of those situations where like, shoot, now she confided in me. So if I tell the management, she's going to know, you know what I mean? So I was like, shoot, I didn't want to be in this situation. And so, yeah, but it was one of those things where I just thought, oh, come on, you know, like don't take away from what service dogs do. Don't be a bad representative for what service dogs really are trained to do. They go through at least a year and a half, 2 years of training. And man, is it expensive? I mean, I think somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000 for each service dog is, you know, that's how much it costs to train them, you know, with the trainers and the foster care and you know, the organizations and the whole process of finding the right owner, and teaching them, you know, all the medical things that they know. But I think this is a really good deal, even though I do understand how some people, and I don't think this particular client, that was her case. I think she just wanted to get out of the money, but the money part. But I think there are some people who really don't qualify for service dogs, but really like emotionally need the dogs. Like these dogs really help them get to a little more level, a better level of being comfortable in society, intermingling, doing things that maybe they might not be able to do. Maybe nothing super huge or big, but you know, progress is progress, and I'm not going to judge people for that. You know, animals play a very important part, and just the emotional connection, that's huge. You know, it's really huge. You can't deny that in any way. But it's still not okay to misrepresent them, you know, as the real service dogs. And so I'm really glad that this, because I think it's gotten out of hand. I didn't read the full article, but it seemed really interesting. I'll have to do that sometime. But I just wanted to bring that up. Like the other night, I think it was at a Cub Food late at night, you know, because sometimes when I'm done, I will have forgotten to eat, you know, so like when I'm done for the day, it's like 11 midnight or whatever. And so I'll run to the grocery store and grab something real quick. And there I was in one of the stores, and there was an older couple there with a golden retriever, and they had a group of people around them, and the people were like hemming and hawing over this beautiful golden retriever, which was actually, I think, quite old. But the woman, he had a red vest on that said service dog or dog in training or something like that. And the woman was explaining, you know, this is a service dog. And everybody was like, oh. And I looked over there and I had just enough crabbies and impatience in me that I was going to kind of like go over there and intervene. But I thought, oh, shut up, Kathy, and just keep going and buy your food and get out of here. But it was so clear to me that was not a service dog. You know, number one, if your dog is a service dog, they don't have the most rattiest, beat up, dirty service vest on. If your dog, and she specifically said dog in training, you know, she's training. I thought, no. This vest has been around for a good 7-8 years. Your dog is not in training. You are taking advantage of the situation so you can bring your dog into the grocery store. And that's not okay. But I do understand too, pet appreciators, you know what I mean? Dr. Nicole, I talk too much, and I'm giving you 45 seconds. Isn't that mean? Gosh, I'll shut up. What do you want to say about it?
No, I agree. I agree with you. I definitely think that the people are making it hard for real, actual service dogs, and they're making a mockery out of it, and that's very frustrating. I listened to a radio program on my way to work the other day, where people were calling in and explaining that they think they should be able to do that because they said they want to get the same, privileges as the rich do. And that's why they're pretending that their dogs are service dogs. Yep. For planes, and they go online and buy a vest. It's so terrible.
It's just not okay.
So terrible.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. And you're not even supposed to talk to a service dog. So, like, that's why if there's a bunch of people gathered around, it's probably not one.
You're right. And we're going to end it with that because we don't have a choice. Have a great week, pet appreciators. Take care.